Please take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages from the New Testament. First of all, the book of Acts and chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and beginning to read from verse 17. This is on page 1085 of the Maroon Bibles. Acts 20 at verse 17. And as we would look at this passage, let me just ask a couple of questions, things to be looking out for, and then one question of the other passage that we're going to read second. First of all, how has God ordered his church? Why are elders important? What do we learn from what Paul says here to these men from Ephesus? And if you can just keep in your mind the very last verse that we're going to read from the passage in Hebrews. What is a mark of a believer according to the last verse of the passage in Hebrews? Acts chapter 20 at verse 17. This is God's word. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And then turning over to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. Last chapter of Hebrews, and reading from verse 7. Remember again that last question: what is a mark of a believer according to the last verse that we're going to read? Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 7. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen. May God bless to us these readings and also the preaching of his own holy and perfect word. Could I ask you actually, first of all, to have your Bibles open at neither of the passages that we read, but at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just first of all show you an object. Isn't it a beautiful object? The surface is so smooth, the figures so regular and so well made, the gold so shiny, doing just exactly what it was meant to do. What about the other side? That's what's inside. Not so pretty. All the gears and cogs and wheels and screws. But you can't have one without the other. Now, I didn't actually print out the picture of the other picture that I meant to print out. It was a picture of a swan. But maybe you can just imagine a swan. Again, something that's really beautiful to look at. One of the most beautiful sights on a summer's evening. A snowy white swan gliding across a lake. But did you ever look below the waterline to see the black feet paddling furiously to make it move across the water? And that's a bit like what we're doing today. And for our next two studies together, we're opening up the watch, if you like, to see what makes it tick. We're looking under the water to see the swan's feet pumping. We're looking under the surface of the church. What keeps the church of Jesus Christ going? Well, obviously it's God who keeps it going. But how does he do that? What makes it tick? What I'm going to say is elders. Yes, elders. Not teenagers who haven't learned to shave yet, from which the world around us seems to take so much guidance and advice, but men of some maturity whom God calls to serve him in his son's church. One of the saddest verses in the whole Bible comes at the end of the Old Testament book of Judges. And if you know anything about Judges, you'll know that the same pattern is repeated over and over throughout the book. The people forget God and sin against him. So God allows their enemies to invade the land and cause them hardship. In their suffering, they cry out to God to deliver them. And in his mercy, God hears their cry and sends a deliverer. But as soon as they've been delivered, they're forgetting God all over again. And so the cycle continues. Or rather, it's more like a spiral, spiraling downwards all the time. Because things get worse and worse. The people commit more and more terrible sins until we come to the very last verse of the book of Judges. And I don't want you to look it up, but just listen to what it says. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Nothing to check them, nothing to hold them back. But now, with the New Testament, the king has come. King Jesus is the Lord and head of the church, his body on earth. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, Jesus gave apostles and prophets as the foundation stones of his church. Those who would declare his word, those who saw Jesus and all he did with their own eyes, they were there at the start. And Jesus has provided evangelists, pastor teachers, and elders from that time until Jesus comes back. Men to serve in his church, to stop that chaos taking over, that topsy-turvy free-for-all that we read of in Judges. He has given elders to guide, to rule his people, to keep the watch ticking, to keep the swan swimming. Gateway Christian Fellowship has been going now for more than 4 years. At the start, two men who were elders committed yourselves to us. Fergus, who has since gone, and Oliver, who's still with us. The wider church also gave us two other elders who still belong to their own congregation, but who have been helping us to make decisions to guide our work. But we have decided that now it is time to appoint elders of our own. We do want to say a big thank you to James and to William, even though they're not here today. We don't really want to say goodbye to them. They were both here on Tuesday night at the Patrick meeting. But we know that they have work to do in their own congregations. We are wanting, with God's help, to stand on our own two feet as a congregation. In time, it would be good to see elders in this congregation from this side of the city. But for now, we're asking God for three men. You, the members of Gateway, will choose them. So in a couple of weeks, God willing, I want to preach on the question, what makes an elder? And the following week, what do elders do? But for today, we need to think about a more basic question. First of all, why have elders? That's our subject for today. Why have elders? And I want to give you four main reasons. But before we do that, I want to mention one other thing. Apologies for not working through a passage as I normally like to do, because what God says about elders is scattered over different places in the Bible. I said we're looking for three men. Why only men? Is that discrimination? What is called the testimony of our church says this. The scriptures clearly teach that the office of the eldership is restricted to men. Have a look, actually, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Just look at what Paul says there. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Such teaching is not in fashion in today's world or even in today's church. Many people, even Christians, try to weaken what Paul says here by saying that Paul was just talking for his day and his age. But look on at verses 13 and 14. Why is Paul saying this? He gives the reason in verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Paul goes back to the creation of Adam and Eve to show that this is the way for all time, not just for his time. Now, this is not saying that in the church women are second-class citizens. There is much work that God calls women to do. For example, in that very same passage in verse 15, Paul talks about the privilege of women bearing children. But Jesus only appointed men as apostles, and God commands that only men should be chosen as elders. So why do we have elders? The first reason is the most important, and I'm sure it's one that you could work out for yourself. Why have elders? Because God said it. Because God has said it. We shouldn't do anything in the church that God hasn't told us to do in his word. The office of elder goes back almost to the beginning of the Bible. After God comes looking for Moses at the burning bush, he sends Moses back to Egypt. And there Moses is to meet with the elders of Israel, the people's representatives, to tell them that God is planning to rescue them. And then after leaving Egypt, God tells Moses he's going to pour out his spirit on 70 of the elders so that they can ease Moses' burden of looking after all the people. God is using elders. And the elders crop up throughout the Old Testament, judging, advising, caring for God's people, teaching God's word. So that's the background. Once the church begins to spread beyond the Jews. To give you just one verse, in Titus chapter 1, a verse I read at the beginning, Paul tells Titus to appoint elders in every city where he starts up a work. Now these elders, unlike the ones in the Old Testament, these elders don't sit in the courts of the land, but they are there to keep the church working. Let's turn now to that passage that we did read earlier, Acts chapter 20. Page 1085. Notice in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20 that Paul sends for the elders of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, that's one church, one place, but many elders. And look at what he calls them in verse 28. If you look from verse 17 to verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops. So the elder is the same thing as the bishop. And there are at least three other places in the New Testament where elders, and that's really talking about how mature they are, and overseers, talking about what they do, they oversee, those words are used of the same people. Every elder is a bishop. And the elders we elect next month could be called bishops, although they might not let you. So every congregation is supposed to have a number of bishops, a number of elders, as we do. We are a Presbyterian church, the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And that word, Presbyterian, comes from the Greek word for elder, presbyteros. Presbyterian churches are those with elders at their heart. We're not a democracy, with everyone having an equal say. That's the way people in the world like to think of things. We are a theocracy. We are governed by God, ruled by elders who serve the people. And as we'll see, God willing, there is very specific and helpful Bible teaching about elders. And that for good reason. An elder may stay much longer than a minister in a particular congregation. I've known men to be elders for 40 years and more. So an elder, if you want to go back to the picture of the watch, an elder is going to be one of the bigger cogs in any congregation. Let's take a look at verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. It's really the key verse in that whole passage. Therefore, Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You could actually just stop and preach a sermon on that one verse. It's so warm and so full. Now, Paul doesn't tell us how these men became elders. He may have chosen them himself. But it's a great privilege to be able to choose from our own number rather than having leaders imposed on us. And the elders would have had hands laid on them to set them apart for the service of God. But the most important thing is that human beings are only recognizing something God has done. Looking at verse 28, who is it who has made these elders overseers? The Holy Spirit. That's right. Paul hasn't done it. The people haven't done it. The Holy Spirit, God, has done it. That's how important this office is. It's the work, it's the gift of God. And all the people have to do is to see God's hand in this, to see God's mark on these men's lives. And as verse 28 tells us, God has bought the church with his own blood. He has been pleased to give elders to the church for our benefit. So don't despise this office. Don't treat it lightly. Don't think that a visit from an elder doesn't count. If God has chosen to give men to his church, if the Holy Spirit has appointed them, if God has commanded us to elect elders, then we do well to give this careful thought. So that's the first reason, because God has said so. A second reason which is related to that is, a second reason we should have elders is because God sets the standard. Because God sets the standard. Now, that's not actually what the picture shows. There's one little boy measuring another little boy. And he could very easily get it wrong. God sets the standard, and God doesn't get it wrong. I'm not going to go into this very much now, because God willing, we look at this in a fortnight's time. Read 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first few verses. Read Titus chapter 1, the first few verses. And you'll see for yourself the list of qualities that God lays down. Now just turn for a minute to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Page 1161. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Those first seven verses. Look at verse 3, for example. And you'll see some of the negatives. The negative qualities that God is looking for in elders. And you can also see some of the positive qualities as well in verse 3. Or look at verse 2 to see some of the different areas of the elder's life. Of the person's life that are to be examined. Verse 2 and verse 4. And this again reminds us how important this office is. Imagine you're applying for a job. So you send off to find out what's required. How would you feel if the word came back, no qualifications necessary? I imagine you wouldn't be very impressed with that job. Surely anyone could do it. You don't need any particular skills or abilities or personality. Well, the fact that God gives us not just one list, but two lists of qualities for overseers, for elders, shows how highly he regards this office. Apostles and prophets don't have similar long lists because they're not a continuing office. God expects there to be elders in the church right up until the time Jesus comes back. Elders who meet this standard that he has set. Why have elders? Because God has said it. Because God has set down a standard. Thirdly, because God wants them to serve. Because God wants them to serve. And if you can remember the S's, you should remember the main points. A wise elder once said to me that you can't take people any further than you have gone yourself. And that's true. Do come back with me, please, to Acts chapter 20 for a moment. I'm sorry, we're jumping about a wee bit. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. On page 1085, Paul says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The elder must have repented himself. He must have sensed his own sin in his mind, from his mouth, in his motives. The elder must have trusted in Jesus to save him from all that sin by his death and to lead him into life by his glorious resurrection. The elder must now be depending on Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of his life. So look then again at verse 28. At how Paul describes the elders' work. Take heed to yourselves, Paul says first, and to all the flock. The elder is to guard his own life and witness. He's to be working on his own spiritual life, feeding his own soul on God's word, understanding what God is doing with him in the light of the Bible. Being aware of his weaknesses, where Satan will try to attack him, avoiding those situations, confessing his own sin, depending on Jesus for everything. Take heed to yourselves, Paul says, and only then can he apply those same actions to the folk God has put under his care. Take heed to yourselves, and to all the flock. Only then can he serve as God wants him to, feeding the flock on God's word, because he understands God's word himself, protecting the flock from savage wolves who come in from outside, and sad to say, from wolves who sometimes arise from within. Look at verse 29. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So an elder serves the people by warning them of the real dangers of moving away from the shepherd. Moving away from the faith. God didn't want his people to be frustrated under Moses. That's why he gave the elders to serve him. God doesn't want his flock to suffer any loss. That's why he provides elders, under shepherds, conscientious watchmen who can tell right from wrong. I must say, as a teaching elder, I need elders to help me, to guide me, to encourage me, to correct me when I get things wrong, as I often do. When you're thinking about who you'll vote for, ask yourself, is this someone I would be willing to be corrected by in love? Because that is the difficult work of the elder. That is part of his service. Paul tells us to respect those who are over us. Do you respect those who have served as elders among us here? Will you respect our new elders? I pray that you will, so that in the words of, that Paul uses here, so that you may be spared, so that you may grow strong to take his message to others. So why have elders? Because God has said so. Because God sets us the standard. Because God wants elders to serve him. And finally, and most solemnly of all, because God wants them to submit. Because God wants them to submit. Now, there aren't very many pictures about submitting. Our society is not very comfortable with the idea of submitting. Quite a few of the pictures were actually of dogs. And this picture here looks a bit sheepish, maybe. It looks a wee bit embarrassed, a wee bit shameful. Dogs should submit to us. We don't really want to submit to anyone. But please turn with me to that other passage that we read earlier. This is the last passage, Hebrews chapter 13. It's on page 1181. Let's just look at that last verse that we read together, verse 17, at the top of the page. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. God will require an account from every elder for his service. And that includes me as the teaching elder. And these are the kinds of questions that elders will be asked. Have you kept watch over the flock? Have you set them a good example? Have you warned them when necessary about their own lives, about the dangers others may lead them into? Have you fed them good food? Have you prayed for them? And if you're anything like me, after a list of questions like that, you're maybe asking, who is equal to such a task? Who can manage to do all those things? Well, may we elders and future elders be able to answer. Not that we are competent in ourselves, but our competence comes from God. And that verse, verse 17, isn't just about elders submitting. It starts off by telling each one of us that we are to submit, obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, and they will give account. And we submit by not going the way we want to go, but by following God's way, by submitting to God. And that brings us back to verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. We can only submit to God if we have grasped what his Son has done for us. He has become the scapegoat, the one loaded down with all the people's sins and sent outside the camp to die, so that we might be sanctified, declared righteous, made holy. Have you believed that your sin demanded his death? Have you asked him to save you, to cleanse you? And are you seeking, as verse 17 would encourage you to do, are you seeking not to be a burden to your elders, not to give them grief, but to give them joy? Will the elders, the new elders, be working like cogs in the machine so that others can see your beauty? Will the elders be going a dinger below the waterline, like the swan's legs below the waterline, so that others can see your grace? Let's stand and let's pray together. Lord, we praise you that you don't work the way the world works. You are pleased to choose the weak and the despised and the foolish of the world, those of no reputation, to carry out your plans, so that the glory might be yours. In choosing elders for this congregation, Lord, you know that we are seeking to obey your word. We do thank you for the work of those who have been with us this past 4 years. We thank you for their wisdom, for their patience, for their understanding of your word and of your way, sometimes through choppy waters. We thank you for these things. Lord, we pray that you would guide us to the man you want. May your will be done. May men of your appointing be chosen by us to feed us and warn us and guide us. And Lord, may they be given to us and also to those we believe you will bring to us. We pray that you would build your church in this part of the city. In the name of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, we pray. Amen.